Well, praise the Lord. Welcome once again to our Calling the Remnant podcast. Really excited to get into what we're talking about today. As you can see, we got the same group of people that we had here for last week's podcast. Got my wife, Faith, my brother, our producer, Nat, his wife, Paris. Last week, we spent a lot of time talking about raising a family, raising children, the way that the remnant teaches us to do so. And I want to say by popular demand, but it's more so by our pastor demand. He said that we left a lot of meat on the table. We got into a lot of good stuff, but he wants more. He wants everybody
just
to hear
so much.
Yep, because there is a lot to talk about concerning raising a family, you know, raising children, having a righteous and holy remnant style marriage. We do have a lot more that we're going to get into. We do have a lot more that we want to talk about, and we have a lot of scriptures that we want to bring out that go into that. Before we do that, I do want to remind you, please get the word out of what we're doing here at the City on a Hill, these podcasts, our videos, share them. Share them as much as you can, because we want to reach as many people as possible. We really want the word of God and what he's doing here to be expressed as much as possible. All right, praise God. Let's get into what we're going to be talking about. So what's the first topic we're going to be getting into?
So I think today the first topic we want to get into is being united. And how does that look specifically in our marriage and then also in front of our children?
Yes. Well, recently we've talked about how a family, you know, the way it moves. We've used the word unit. I like the word unit, how the way it moves, the direction that it goes in, it needs to always be together. There needs to, a family, especially its heads, need to make a point and take effort to make sure that the direction never separates.
Right.
That they don't just hands off on what the kids are doing and say, those kids, they can, especially when they're older, they can start making their own decisions. You know, when you're a family, it's important for them to see the direction that you desire to take them in together so that they want to be a part of it. It makes them feel comforted to see that this whole family is moving as a whole.
Yeah, and I think, well, especially because kids learn by example, if they don't see their parents working together and being united in everything that they do, then it's harder for them to learn discipline and respect and obedience, because if they don't see the wife submitting to the husband, then they're not going to be submitting to the husband or their dad either, you know, because they're not seeing that in front of them.
Mm-hmm. And I want to bring up this verse. It's in 1 Peter, and we're looking at chapter 3, verse 7, and it says, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." And, you know, right now at City on a Hill, we're in a season of prayer. And I think that you're not going to see the results of your prayers if you're not standing united. Not only, you know, we're united in the church, but also talking about a family, being united as a husband and wife, you know, and making sure that when your children come to you, that they know mom and dad are on the same page about everything.
Exactly.
You know, whether it's, you know, in a question they have, but, you know, even more importantly, that they are united and on the same page with biblical principles. Yes.
And I think especially my daughter's starting to get to this point. And I remember when I was young and I did this too, where you go to one parent and you say, "Can I have ice cream?" We'll say ice cream. Yeah. "Can I have some ice cream?" And the parent says no. And then they go to the other parent, because
right
they're hoping that the other parent will say something different. But the parents have to be united.
Right.
Because if
Even
one
in
says
small
no,
things like that, it starts with these small things so that
it reflects on the bigger things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can build on it so that when they are 6, 7, 8, and then once they're teenagers, you know, being able to build on those principles. It starts with ice cream, but then it gets up to, you know, a teenager asking, you know, can I go out with these friends, or can I do this? And making sure that the parents, you know, they're united in those answers.
Why can't I watch this movie? Well, it's because of this.
Right.
Or like with Sam, I don't let her watch TV on Sundays. mm-hmm. Especially before church, right. Even if it's VeggieTales, like yeah. It doesn't matter. I don't let her watch TV on Sundays because my perspective is that on Sunday mornings, we're focused on serving the Lord and right. getting ready to praise and worship him. Right. And we have to be ready to explain that to her when she gets to that point of where she'll ask mm-hmm. why.
And making sure that you, as either a wife or a husband, is on the same page as your spouse, it takes effort. Mm-hmm. It takes always being around what either the family or the spouse is being involved with. It's so easy for one of them just to go do their own things. There are a lot of families who like to say, you know, either just to give them a break or to make things easier on the family. Sometimes they'll let the wife or the husband go do their own thing just for whatever they want. They don't bother them about it. They don't ask them any questions about it. But in order to make sure the family is seeing that you're moving in a cohesive direction with your spouse, you need to actually make an effort to do it at all times.
Right.
And sometimes when you feel like you need a break, that might be the moment where you need to take a little bit more action, because that's where the devil wants to slip in, add a little element of laziness to the marriage or add a little element of laziness to the family, and that will reflect on the kid itself.
Right. We have to be intentional. We have to be very intentional in everything that we do, and it does make it harder sometimes because we do all have, you know, that laziness sometimes that can creep in. But that's part of growing spiritually, is when those moments come and you feel that laziness coming and you're like, oh, I don't want to handle this. I don't want to deal with it. I'd rather turn something on. I'd rather, you know, just sit down and relax. That is the moment that spiritual growth happens, is when you're intentional and you say, no, I'm going to handle this the way that it needs to be handled. And, you know, part of that unity with your husband is when you are in that moment struggling, the other one is able to push you through it,
yes.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that cohesiveness is talking about and expressing the things of God and his scriptures. And I came across a verse just a moment ago, actually, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, actually two verses, verses 6 and 7. It says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, yes. when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." Make sure all of that is the center of your cohesiveness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Church isn't just at church. You should be
all the time.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 24/7. That's we talk about, you know, a lot of people like to put on their movies and things like that in the car for their kids. But what we have been doing for a long time is we take those moments of just sitting and we're talking to them about, you know, the scriptures, and we're helping them memorize their verses, and we're teaching them, hey, this happened this week, this miracle that happened in our lives, no matter how small it is. Even recently, we were telling our kids, because I'm still in college, so there was some college thing that happened with my professor and my class, and that we needed the Lord to move for us, on behalf of us. And we immediately went to the Lord, and within an hour, our prayers had been answered.
Yes.
And we told our kids that. We told them about this thing. You know, even though to some people it may feel small, it's those little moments in everyday life, letting them be able to recognize on their own as they grow.
You're building a culture.
That even little things, that's God moving. That's how mm-hmm. he moves mm-hmm. for us daily. That's how he,
yep.
that's part of being in the remnant, is being able to see those blessings daily.
They see that we care about calling upon the Lord. We made it so important that even though we establish that we're the heads of the family, but we also establish that we always take it to God.
Right.
Not just as a last resort, like I mentioned last time, but always.
First and always.
Mm-hmm. And at all times. They need right. to see, not only do we always bring it to God, but also that God hears us.
Mm-hmm. And we God want them to know it's a big deal when he does. Like especially at a young age, you have to really make sure that your children understand how exciting and important it is when God answers a prayer.
Right.
Because
yes.
if they don't realize that it's a good thing, then they're not going to know to do it. So, you know, well, especially
they need to see that excitement in us.
I was about to
say, they need to see it from us.
The excitement in just the mundane little things that, you know.
And talking about it, like you guys were saying in your car, is a great way to do that. You know, finding the little times when you could just be having downtime and bringing up those things for your children so they realize, oh, this is so important and exciting that they're actually talking about it.
And when we talk to our kids, you know, God sees it, like it says in, I think it's Malachi chapter 3. Mm-hmm. The people of God spoke to one another and the Lord heard them, and he blesses it and multiplies that.
Right.
He, you know, building that culture within your family of this is the most exciting, most important thing that we do. We talk about the things of the Lord, you know?
And it's such a good thing to do when your child, no matter how old he or she is down about something.
Right.
What, even if it's a little thing that they're down about, like they didn't get as much food as they want, they didn't get as much dessert as they want, or somebody came and turned their television off, you know, bring the joy of the Lord into it.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes it may sound silly. Sometimes for a spiritual family, it might even sound cliche. I mean, who cares? When you bring the Lord into it, only good can come from it.
Right.
And they understand it at a young age. I mean, you with Sam, something that Benji does all the time, which I'm so glad he does this, is if she's whining and complaining about something, sometimes he'll take her out of the room and he'll sit her down and say, listen, what you're doing is not making God happy. Mm-hmm. And if you want to make God happy, this is what he expects from us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, children naturally want to make people happy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that it's good that you're training her in that now, because when she's older, she can stop and think, okay, is what I'm doing pleasing the Lord? Mm-hmm. And they'll already have that trained inside of them.
Okay, so let's move. We're going to move on to the next topic that we have. And so the question that I really want to ask, which if you are part of this ministry, you'll know, you'll probably immediately know, because we're pretty strong-minded about it, but it's, why do we not live by a calendar?
Calendar, man. You know, first thing that comes to my mind, this isn't actually an answer to the question, we're going to get into the answer to the question, is how my dad talks about all the time in church, how several years ago, he got rid of all the calendars in our house. Yes. The one calendar that he let us use is this one calendar that my mom kept for schooling purposes, because she homeschooled us. But, you know, from a spiritual perspective, immediately we turn to the verse that says, do not worry about tomorrow. It's actually, I believe it's Matthew 6:34. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And we don't want to be restricted to plans that either us or any other humans make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm brought back to, there was a time that someone in our family, they decided to go on a trip. They had a trip planned and they had it completely paid for. Mm-hmm. They drove there. This is like an 8-hour drive. They get there and they just felt that the Lord was prodding their heart. Like, this is not where you need to be right now.
Right.
There were people around them that they're like, maybe they're not. I don't think they even knew what it was.
It didn't even matter the reason.
Yeah. They didn't know the reason, but they just felt God calling their heart, like, you need to go home. So they got up and they left and they came back home. Right. And they had already paid for the trip.
Much they paid.
No matter how
much
they is
planned.
It doesn't matter, because if God's telling you you need to be somewhere, you shouldn't have your plans so set in your mind that you're not willing to change them.
Right.
So comforting when you realize you've pleased God even at the expense of some form of convenience.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, just to kind of back up some of that, in Proverbs 16, it says, the preparation of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all things for himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. And I think that we have to remember that, you know, part of like not living by a calendar is, I mean, we live in a world where we have to set appointments and we have these time things, you know, constraints that we have.
It brings physical versus spiritual back.
But right, we have to remember that we have to be ready. We always have to be ready. Our, you know, pastor, our dad, he's always be sitting on go, because as soon as the Lord speaks, we have to be ready to act. whether that means canceling something, whether that means not being able to do it, whether, and when it comes to our kids, because I know as parents, we want to be able to do these fun things with our kids, but it can never get in the way of something that the Lord speaks. You know, we can never be so tied up in our calendars and in our everyday life that it shows in us where maybe it makes us mad or upset. We cannot let that come through, especially in front of our kids. Yeah. If our plans change and are canceled, we have to show them how to respond to that. You know, are we upset? Are we mad? Are we letting it show in our words or our attitude? You know, that's really important to make sure that we're giving that example to them so that when their plans change, because even in our four-year-old, when we have had to change plans kind of quickly, I know you're expecting to go swimming this evening or to go do this fun thing, but we're not able to do it right now because, you know, something more important with our ministry has come up, and that's where we're set, mm-hmm. and that's what we're doing first.
Whenever that was to happen in our family, my dad, the first thing he would always say is, it doesn't matter. Our steps are ordered of the Lord.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was a very simple thing that the Bible tells us, but it speaks so much. And the reason it speaks so much is because so many things can happen that remind us of that, as long as what we said earlier, the family is moving in the same direction. Because you want the whole family to recognize that, what it says, about your steps being ordered of the Lord, and you want them to not think about it in a different light. You don't want one member of the family thinking, maybe there's this exception. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's this exception that I can think of. I can think of this reason. The whole family, and it's up to the heads to establish the spaces, make sure that no matter what comes up, the steps are always ordered of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. A good example is, I guess it was about 2 years ago now, I was at a specific job, and we did not want me to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. It was really just not... It was a very toxic environment, I guess is the best way to put it.
It's putting it mildly.
Yeah. I'm being very mild about it right now. But we had a half day, because I'm a teacher. We had a half day that day, and so I got to come home early. And I think the plan was for me to come to the church and watch the kids, because they were still pretty young. I think mm-hmm. Esther was maybe 2, and Ada and Sam were around a year old. Mm-hmm. And so I came to the church, and I was ready to watch the kids and do what we had to do. And Mom walked in and said to me, you know, there's a school right up the road. Why don't you just walk in the front door and see if they have any positions open? Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, why not? So I got in the car, drove there, walked in the door, asked them. They're like, we literally just finished praying that God would let someone walk through this door that is looking for a job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if Mom had not listened to the Lord putting it on her heart to tell me to go to this particular school and ask if they had any positions open, I wouldn't have had a job.
Right.
I would have been without a job because I could not stay at this other place any longer. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where we had to be willing to listen when God was telling us, no, you need to change your plans. Like, this is not what God has in store for you to be at this particular workplace.
Don't be so set in your
Always
ways.
Always be ready right. mm-hmm. to move when God says move.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And on that same note, even when God takes you, excuse me, when God takes you in a certain direction in one area, don't think to yourself, well, he put me in that one position. This is where I'm going to be forever. God right. might take that same thing for you and push it in another direction. I got another example for me personally. Those of you who know me know that I've spent more than a decade of my life training in Taekwondo. For the first year and a half, I was at this one school that changed ownership after a while. And after they changed ownership, they also raised their prices. The prices weren't the only thing, but the leadership at the school started to get a little bit too strange, a little bit toxic. A lot of the friends that I was training with started differing in different directions. So my mom, who was a member of, I believe it was the homeschool email loop or something like that, she got so many homeschool email loop emails over and over again. She kept telling me she never would open them because she never was interested in anything they had to say. She came across this one. I don't remember if she saw what the title was. She said that she felt like she needed to open it. She opened it, and there was an advertisement for a Taekwondo school in Grayson that Number one was very cheap and non-for-profit, but we went there to check it out to see if it actually had training and all that stuff, and it did. I actually stayed there for about 8 years. Mm-hmm. I got 3 different black belts while I was there, and then after being there for a couple of more years, even before Sam was born, God showed us even some more signs that even though he led us there, that the time that I'd spent there had also run its course. So he turned me away from that area as well, even after being there for almost a decade. Mm-hmm. I mean, you never know when God is going to change. You never know when God is going to change the direction that he himself took you in. It's not just about changing a direction that you did yourself.
Right.
It's about always being ready when God moves you from one direction to another. It could be to another point, to another point. God has seasons that he takes his people through.
And don't be, you know, expecting your own timeline for it. The Lord has his own timeline that we have to be ready for, you know? There are trials that we go through that some people, I know, you know, Pastor Danny, he talks about his father and how these, you know, there was certain things that he went through for years, you know, years at a time, and then the Lord showed his hand in it. And we can't forget that, you know, even something that may take a lot longer than we're expecting, you know, the Lord is going, we have to trust that the Lord is going to show his hand in it, mm-hmm. you know? And part of that is showing our kids and also encouraging our spouse, because our spouse sometimes might be going through something that we're not, that you have to be an encouragement to them, mm-hmm. you know, in those times when they're, you know, struggling with a trial that they're going through, because you are one unit. You're one person. And when you live like that, it's encouraging to your spouse and for them to be able to also grow spiritually and go deeper in the Lord.
And sometimes the best way to do that is just to pray. Like constantly yes. be praying for your spouse, yes, because
pray for them, pray
there's
with
no,
them.
Mm-hmm. There's no better weapon
yeah.
than prayer. When it, especially, I think especially for a wife, because there are ways a husband can come to a wife with things that a wife can't always come to a husband in the same way. You know, and one of the best ways that we can help move on behalf of our husband is covering him in prayer mm-hmm. all the time. You know?
Yeah. Sometimes I can tell when something's bothering Benji. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I realize the best option isn't to ask him about it.
Right.
Or say, tell me what's wrong. Please tell me what's wrong. Like that's, you know, sometimes the husband just wants to.
Right.
I don't think you always want us like down your throat asking what's right. going on.
Well, so there's that verse in, I think it's in Proverbs, about a nagging wife. And there's yes. a fine line that us as wives have to walk. And it's, you know, in the moments of being able to hear from the Lord and knowing, okay, I need to actually say these words of encouragement. You know, I need to help maybe even push my husband deeper and further. Mm-hmm. And then there's times when you have to have that gentle and quiet spirit
yeah.
that the Lord talks about, of it's precious to the Lord. And I think as wives, we need to know. And the only way to know when to, you know, choose between those two is to be set around other women, mm-hmm. you know, who are spiritually being fed the same yeah. as you when you're in a group. And then also you yourself, you have to make an effort to set aside time as a wife and mother to go deeper in the Word mm-hmm. and to have a prayerful life.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, if you don't ever pray, you don't know how to listen to God when he answers you.
Right.
I think with a lot of times some praying for a situation is good too, but also praying that God gives you the wisdom to know how to respond to a situation mm-hmm. or if you should even respond to something.
Right.
Cause you guys know I'm a very chatty person and I like to talk.
Really?
yeah. And so sometimes I have to pray and be like, Lord, do I need to say something or should I just not speak at all?
Right.
And a lot of times he tells me not to speak at all, which is hard for me. But I, you know, the more I pray to God about something, the more understanding I have, and also diving into the Word too mm-hmm. and reading scriptures, because sometimes God will lead you to the right scripture too. Right. I know, was it your grandmother, Mommy Becky, who had this gift where God would just put it on her heart. She would open the Bible to the perfect scripture for somebody in that moment, what they were needing in their lives. Mm-hmm. And but that partially comes from knowing the word too. Like, you have to know the scriptures to be able to combat something.
And adding, I don't know if I want to use the word adding because it needs to be the centerfold of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, bringing God and praying to Him and looking for scriptures into it not only puts you in that right direction, but it also, it takes your mind off the things that the devil wants to use to distract you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It pushes you further away from the things that are trying to get you to make things logical, make things reasonable in your own head. You know, when you're trying to think about what to say, your mind go, it's like that little, it's like that meme that you see all over social media where it looks like all the numbers and algebra and trigonometry stuff is going through your head like you have no idea what answer you're going to come up with. You turn to the Lord, all that stuff gets erased off the chalkboard.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads us into our next, a next subject that we are going to talk about, and it's what does having spiritual eyes mean when you're raising a remnant family?
Spiritual eyes. Well, first thing I need to bring up when we talk about spiritual eyes is it's not just about looking at what your children are doing. It's looking at what the whole family is doing overall. Mm-hmm. But spiritual eyes, once again, is spiritual versus physical. I mean, starting, of course, with children, you know, sometimes children may pick up some little strange, nervous, bad habits. And, you know, a lot of parents will look at those things and they'll say it's probably normal. It's probably just how they deal with anxiety or being nervous or something like that. And it takes focusing on the spiritual. It takes focusing on the ways of the Lord and what the Bible tells us to look through spiritual eyes and recognize that those kinds of things, those habits, do not just derive from something randomly physical. They are doors, and they're spiritual.
Yeah. They're doors for the devil to be able to work his way into your family. And if you don't take control of these things in your kids at a young age, then it's going to show up in bigger ways when they're grown adults.
Yeah, it's not just about, you know, the specific habit itself. Like, I don't know, for example, nail biting. If your child has a nervous nail-biting thing. Mm-hmm. It's not even so much about the actual nail bite. I mean, maybe it is, you know. Maybe your kid will chew through their nails and have no nails left.
Which ours did. You know,
yes, one of ours did.
One of ours did, and we had to recognize it because we had all these voices around us saying, you know, oh, it's not a big deal.
It'll work itself out.
She's probably just a little nervous. You know, she's doing it when she's nervous. And we had to recognize and kind of block out those voices and look to the Word and look to our spiritual leader to be able to recognize that this is not a normal thing. This is a spiritual thing. And this is just, this is how it's showing up. Yeah. Because, I mean, all throughout the Word, we see that these things of the world, when we're going through something spiritually, that they show up physically. Mm-hmm. They show up in sickness or disease, or they show up in
habits. It's just a symptom.
Yeah, you know, it's like a symptom.
Even beyond just the actual biting of the nails, there's a spiritual underlying thing that, if it were not for us being in constant attendance at an anointed house of the Lord and being diligent, we wouldn't be able to see it with spiritual eyes.
And sometimes it might seem like something good at first, too. I remember Sam, like a year ago, went through this phase where when we would walk across the field from our house to your house, she would not walk. She'd ask me to pick her up and carry her. Mm-hmm. And as a mom, you're like, oh, I want to carry my baby, you know. But it, we had to realize, I think Benji or someone had to tell me, like, no, she's not doing that for that. There's some sort of fearful spirit that's keeping her from wanting to put her feet on the ground and physically walk.
Yeah.
It's not her being attached to her mom or wanting just to cuddle. You know, she there was a fearful spirit that we had to fight against, and we had to teach her that, no, you there's no need to be afraid, you know.
As a family, you need to recognize and spread to the whole parameters of the family that anything related to fear, anything related to anxiety, anything that could cause those habits is not of God.
Amen.
Never has ever been of God. You know, God can take something that the devil tried to do and turn it into something good. Right. But whenever it has to do with fear, we don't need to just sit back and say, oh, maybe this was part of God's plan for me, or maybe this was something that God put on my heart for whatever reason. He's going to use it. If it's a fear, it's not of God. And you need to be willing to take the steps, go to the Lord, however long it takes, like the hammer that I mentioned last time. Oh. However long it takes, you need to attack it.
Yes. Even dreams.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I remember when Benji and I were, I don't even know if we were engaged yet. We might have just gotten engaged. And Bobby, Pastor Sam, was still around.
Yes.
And I had had a dream. And I went to him and I asked him about it. And I think we were trying to decide, is this just a dream I had? Was this an attack from the devil or was it from the Lord? And the first thing he asked me was, did you feel afraid in the dream?
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is yes, he said, then it's not from the Lord. Mm-hmm. He said, you're not, when God is speaking to you through a dream, you shouldn't be afraid.
Right.
You will feel a peaceful spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if it's from the devil, then you'll be afraid.
Right.
And I don't remember what the result was. I just remember him telling me that it was kind of mind boggling to me because I had never really thought of it that way, but that makes sense that God doesn't want you to be afraid of things.
Mm-hmm.
God has not given us
a spirit of fear.
Yeah.
And I think, too, we can, as parents, be able to rest in that peace that the Lord gives us when we are, you know, in the middle of these situations where we don't know for sure if what we're doing is the right thing, because there is that question. And I think that's what makes it hard, you know, as followers of Christ and being in the remnant is, you know, is what we're doing what God wants us to do?
Mm-hmm.
And we can have that peace that when we are under his covenant and we're following in his ways, we can have that peace that our steps are ordered of the Lord. Even when we're not sure,
right.
You know, that the Lord will make his will known in those moments when we're not sure. And our job is to make sure that we're following and doing what we need to be doing as, you know, remnant followers. So that we can have that peace in the moment.
And one of the reasons all that is so important, I believe you actually mentioned this to me not too long ago, is because of what my dad talks about, the narrow gate.
Mm-hmm.
The narrow gate means all of that stuff, whether it's relating to fear, whether it's something weighing us down, something that we're trying to bring in from the flesh, there's no room for it.
Right.
Trying to fit through the narrow
habits
gate.
Habits cannot fit through the narrow gate.
That's right.
You know, anxiety doesn't fit through the narrow gate. Mm-hmm. None of that. We cannot bring that with us just because the world tells us it's normal.
And the ways that we try to cope with them.
Exactly. Yeah. We can't. We have to leave all that behind. You know, Pastor Danny, he says it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. And we have to be willing to recognize through spiritual eyes what that includes. What does all or nothing include? It literally includes everything.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. It includes our kids' habits. It includes, you know, their attitudes. It includes and the same thing for us, because as adults, we have habits that need to be broken and we have these things that need to be taken care of, you know, and it's being diligent, not only because it seems hard. I tell, you know, Nat, because, you know, we got married, I was 19, you know, and I had our first child. I was 20. I was really young, and telling, you know, our dad, and going to him as our prophet and being like, Dad, sometimes I still feel like a kid myself. Like, I feel like I'm learning these things myself, and it gets hard to teach your child these things that you feel like you're still learning, mm-hmm. you know, but that's, and he told me, he said, I'm in the same position. He said, there are still things, he said, that I'm learning every day that the Lord is showing me that he's having to teach all of us.
But you're sowing,
you know,
seeds
as his kids.
And it has to start sometime.
Exactly. And you'll see the rewards.
You start when they're the youngest. You know?
That's part of raising your child, sowing these seeds in them. You'll reap that reward by seeing them as adults. And I know mom and dad, you know, are seeing that in us. They sowed these seeds. And, you know, Nat and Benji and even mom in her prayers over their wives. And they're seeing that in us now because we are following, you know, after the Lord and we are part of his remnant.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there's one thing that you take away from this podcast, it's that there is a group of people here. It's not just Pastor Danny getting up and saying all of these great things. there is a group of people here that's trying and doing their best to live, you know, remnant covenant lives.
Right.
That they're, we are here and we are living it out.
And we want you to join us.
And we want you to join us.
Yes.
There's fruit being born.
We're encouraging each other. Yes. We're you know, we are living it out.
We're teaching it to the next generation,
exactly.
Our children.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we mentioned this before, but the Lord has grace, because I know not everyone started their parenting or their marriage in a holy, godly environment. I know that there's going to be people who they have not ever heard. This is new. This is brand new to them. Mm-hmm. And I know how hard it can seem to start to implement these things in your lives, but it's not too late. It Never. Is not too late. You have a 10-year-old, it's not too late. You know, start these things in their lives and you can still reap that reward and you'll still see those benefits in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Little sub-subject I'm going to quickly bring up that goes to what we're talking about is also something that husbands can do, you know, when wives either come up with or are dealing with certain things that they bring forth. You know, one of the things I wrote down, I said when the husband needs to discern, there's the key word, discern. For example, when a wife is involved like an activity with the kids or whatever, it starts to cause too much excitement or too much nervousness. Or when she says something or has an idea that sounds very fleshly about an activity they want to do with the kids or something like that. In a remnant family, the husband needs to be active in watching out for the devil trying to use those little cracks, those little things that take away from the spiritual, even if they sound good,
even if they're good things.
Even if they sound like they could be physically beneficial for the kid or the family or whatever.
If it takes away from the energy that you're supposed to be putting towards the house of the Lord.
Exactly.
And holiness.
The husband needs to calmly step in and bring it back to the spiritual. Mm-hmm. Spiritual versus physical. I'm not going to stop talking about spiritual because when raising a family remnant style, spiritual, what God is doing is the center. Because as I've said before, the spiritual existed before the physical. The physical would not exist without the spiritual. That's why it's so important. Take it back to the spiritual to help them recognize the effects that these physical things or the nervousness things they could be having on the family, whether it be nerves or taking attention away from time needs to be taken for prayer, just like Nat said, and so on.
Right, and I think as mothers, we can sometimes get caught up in just, you know, always wanting to get to the next thing, and we're planning this stuff for our kids, and it sounds great, you know, not going to the library and having these educational moments and planning this, you know, oh, we're going to go here and we're going to do this and wanting to grow them, you know, it all sounds great. And it's not, they're not bad things. But as Pastor Danny has said so many times, just because something is good does not mean that it's spiritual and does not mean that it's even of the Lord just because it's good. And I know Nat has had to reel me in sometimes when I'm planning this stuff. I'm like, oh, we should do this with the girls and they've got this thing. And then, you know, even going so far as planning it out and making, setting that time and everything, and him having to step in and be like, you know, I've seen that this is either cause, I've seen a stressful spirit come out in you, or I've seen an anxious spirit come out in you because of this, and him having to be like, we're not going to do that. Making that final decision. And that, you know, I know some women may think, oh, I don't want to give up that control and I'm the mom. I should know better because I'm with my kids more. But that, him being able to step in and me knowing, okay, as the wife, he's my spiritual leader, that lifts like weight off of my shoulders, mm-hmm. knowing that I can put this in his hands. He's made that final decision and I can rest in that peace that he can see through those spiritual eyes that he mm-hmm. is always on guard. Because as a husband, you know, that you can never turn that off. You always have to be seeing those things through spiritual eyes, just knowing that when he makes that final decision, I can be like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for sending me a husband mm-hmm. who can be that in my life.
And I want to take it a little bit of a step further. And this, for the husband himself, might seem a little bit more difficult. When you're doing that, you don't just do it for what you see in what the wife wants to do or what the kids want to do, even what you yourself wants to do. You never know when an idea or some event or something might come into your head, or you might see it on like a poster or something when you're walking in the mall or out or wherever you are, and it seems like such a really good idea. Those are things that the devil can use for you, the head of the family. And it's your job to discern when the devil's trying to use things against you as well, not just the members of your family. Your wife needs to see that. Right. Your kids need to see that. Mm-hmm. The whole family needs to see that.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I would like to, I hope we have time for this. I would like to bring up one more thing. I'd like to bring up one more thing. If you don't mind, I'd like to bring this one up myself, actually. And I'm not going to talk too long about it, but it has to do with work.
Right.
And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up a verse that my dad mentions to us all the time. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "He who does not work will also not eat."
Mm.
The family needs to see, the whole family needs to see that the basis of the family structure, there's a key word right there, is hard work.
Right.
It's up to the heads of the family, the ones raising the family, the parents, to set that structure. That also goes back to being cohesive, being a unit. They need to set that structure together. They need to see their family working hard so that they can be taught by example.
Right.
And so that being involved in the hard work as a family can make the family feel closer and feel more like one unit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, always making sure that the Lord and recognizing his gifts and his provision is at the center of it, because he's the one who ordained this entire structure in the Bible in the first place.
Right.
I think one thing that I've been trying to work on myself in reference to that verse is it's not just about what you do during your work hours, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like you go to your work and you get your jobs done. You come home, you clean something, and then you sit and relax. It's also about what you do instead of relaxing, like looking for something to be done, and your children seeing that it's not, the job's not done until the job is done.
Right.
And if you say, well, I'll just do this one thing now, and then maybe I can do the other thing after I rest for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I've had to work on myself over the years, is realizing that I shouldn't be resting until it's time for me to go to bed at night.
Right.
I should be constantly looking for something to do, because the Bible says that, you know, God, he upholds cleanliness, and that he
cleanliness is next to godliness.
Idle hands is another open door.
Yes,
for the devil. And
right.
I think when we're talking about working, and it's also about building endurance in your children, mm-hmm. and yourselves, because the Lord works in mysterious ways, and we never know how long it's going to take. Like we were mentioning before, you know, how long a trial is going to be. And if you don't have that spiritual endurance, which can also be, you know, exemplified in our physical daily, mm-hmm. you know, things that we do.
How are you going to get something done if you're always wanting to take breaks?
Right. Exactly. And you're not, and even more so on the spiritual side, how are you ever going to endure, you know, these
trials.
I think about Abraham and any of those Old Testament men who, especially ones who lived a long time, like you see Abraham, he went his whole life without a child, but he was faithful to God the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't just, you know, some of the time, but the Lord saw that in him. And I think it's important to show our kids that it's 24/7. It's mm-hmm. every single day that we have to be showing them, you know, this work, but also the endurance that it takes to serve the Lord.
Bible actually says to work tirelessly for 6 days out of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take that one day. You know, we take Sunday to come to church and worship him. Then we take some time after all that.
I was going to say, part of the culture and the work ethic is not just what we do during the 6 days, but also showing our kids and raising them to know and see us what we do on the seventh day. Mm-hmm. Where are we on the seventh day?
Yes.
Without
We're
fail.
Resting in the house of the Lord.
The house of the Lord.
That's how we fill up
the anointed house of the Lord.
Yeah, but also going back to some of the stuff that we talked about last week, no matter what comes up on that seventh day,
right.
The Lord's house is always what comes first.
Mm-hmm.
The structure that God set forth for us in the Bible, we don't waver from it, and we don't look for loopholes. We're not focusing on what we can do, how we can fit in the way God put a structure for our convenience.
Right.
We focus on making sure that we follow God's structure to the T,
right.
so that our convenience is completely secondary.
Yeah.
Any other comments on that subject? Man, we talked about a lot. I really hope that I really hope that you were really touched by what we're talking about. I really hope that you were blessed by what we're talking about, because we really want to make sure that the Lord's work is done, that the Lord's structure that he laid out for his people, the families, all the families across the world, we want the Lord's work to be done, and we want the Lord to be glorified in all of it. Right. Praise God. All right, I'm going to briefly go over what's going on coming up at the City on a Hill. We have our regular Sunday morning, 11 a.m., Wednesday night, 7 p.m. services here at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville, Georgia. Those are also available on our online platforms. I'll get to that in just a second. We have videos of some sort coming out every day. If it's not our services, it's My Remnant 101 videos on Tuesdays coming out at 8 o'clock. Our devotions Monday, Thursday, and Saturday also coming out at 8 o'clock. The Call in the Remnant podcast comes out on Fridays at 8 o'clock. Available also, the podcast is also available on Spotify, wherever else you get your podcast. You can tell Siri, you can tell Alexa just to play the podcast. And I would encourage you to follow and subscribe to us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X. And the ladies of the City on a Hill Church are also having an in-person Bible study on Tuesdays at 10:30 a.m. as well. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for listening to what we're doing. Please stay in contact with what's going on here at the City on a Hill. Contact us. Come visit us and share what's going on here. God bless you. We'll see you next time.